This is the John Batchelor Show. I'm Francis Rose, in for John tonight. Hotel Mars, episode N. I welcome Dr. Space of the Space Show, Dr. David Livingston. Good evening, Dr. Space.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. It's a great time to be in the space business, isn't it, my friend?
I think so. Yes, it is.
Dr. Jeff Faust of thespacereview.com and Space News joins to talk about the two companies primarily that we think of in the private space business, both either in space once again or getting back into space shortly. Good evening, Jeff. It's a pleasure to have you on the program tonight. Orbital ATK is back at the space station. What was the journey that they took to get there? Good evening.
Good evening. They have their Cygnus cargo spacecraft. It's attached to the space station. It was launched about a week and a half ago. They hitched a ride on another company's rocket, an Atlas V from United Launch Alliance. They bought a launch from them while they worked to upgrade their own rocket called the Antares to resume launches with that sometime next year.
David?
Jeff, good evening. They have another Atlas V launch planned, and then is the Antares supposed to be available? Is that what they're thinking about doing, and is that what's going to happen?
That is the current plan, David. Probably the first part of March, they will launch another Cygnus cargo spacecraft on an Atlas V from Cape Canaveral, and then sometime in late spring, maybe late May, early June, they'll resume launches from Wallops Island, Virginia, their own spaceport, on their Antares rocket, resuming the Cygnus cargo launches from there.
They're pleased with the Cygnus launches and the mission so far, aren't they?
It's gone very well. It's delivered more than 7,000 pounds of cargo to the space station, everything from food and other supplies for the crew to equipment and experiments for them to do.
David?
Jeff, they're using a Russian engine, so are they not part of the ban, on RD-180s, although I see that's getting lifted in the new budget, but their second-stage Russian engine is not part of the conflict going on?
No. Well, there's a couple of issues there. One is that the Atlas V rocket that United Launch Alliance manufacturers that was used to launch this recent Cygnus mission uses an RD-180 engine, and there has been restrictions on military use of the RD-180, but the Cygnus mission is a commercial mission. It's for NASA. There's no military involvement, so none of the military restrictions on the RD-180 apply to that. Now, the Antares rocket will be using a different version of that engine called the RD-181. As you might imagine, pretty similar to the RD-180, but the restrictions regarding the RD-180 don't apply to the RD-181. So they are in the clear in terms of any congressional prohibitions on the use of that engine.
Do we know yet what the lifting of the ban that David mentioned, how it will impact both Orbital ATK and the other company that is going into space, SpaceX?
Yeah. In the short term, it's not going to have much of a impact for Orbital ATK because, again, the ban refers to military launches of vehicles that use the RD-180 engine. And so Cygnus is not a military payload. What it does become more of a factor is in the competition between SpaceX and United Launch Alliance to launch military payloads. SpaceX was, just about 6 months ago, received approval from the Air Force to compete for launches of military satellites. And that's put additional pressure on United Launch Alliance because that business, which was primarily theirs and theirs alone, they now have to compete for, while at the same time having to deal with the restriction on the use of the RD-180 engine. Now, the spending bill that Congress announced early this morning includes language that, at least for the current fiscal year, the 2016 fiscal year, lifts that prohibition on the use of the RD-180. So United Launch Alliance will be free to compete head-to-head with SpaceX for any military missions that the Air Force puts out for competition over the next year.
Jeff Faust of thespacereview.com and Space News. And you report that this controversy has attracted the attention of the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, John McCain. How so, Jeff?
Well, John McCain's been a strong critic of reliance on the Russian-built RD-180 engine. He's pressed for ending the use of that engine as soon as possible to end any reliance on that engine. The problem is that you can't easily swap out one rocket engine for another. You would really need to develop a new one. United Launch Alliance is in the process of actually developing a whole new launch vehicle called Vulcan. That'll look a little bit like the Atlas rocket that exists now, but will have a different first stage engine that will be built in the U.S. It's going to take several years to develop that, though, so the concern that United Launch Alliance has is unless they have continued access to the RD-180, they may not be able to compete for many of these military missions and would have to hand them over to SpaceX. And so that's led to a lot of debate and controversy in Congress about just how many engines that should be available and for how long.
David?
We have another company coming back to flight soon, and that is SpaceX with the Falcon 9. Did you hear if they had their static fire test today?
They have the Falcon 9 vehicle, as you mentioned, is right now standing on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral. They are planning to do what they call a static fire test. That's basically they hold the vehicle down, they light the engines for a second or two to make sure that they work, basically testing everything out before the big launch day. As of earlier this evening, they had not done that test yet, so it's not clear if they're going to do that later tonight or hold off until tomorrow. If that test is a success, they would be cleared to launch as soon as Saturday on a commercial mission.
You reported today that Orbcomm CEO Mark Eisenberg tweeted the satellite's fully fueled, and he's waiting for SpaceX to confirm that launch date, as you just said. Who's Orbcomm? What do they do, and what's their role in this?
Orbcomm is the customer for launch. They operate a group of satellites in low Earth orbit that provide communication services, basically relaying data of various types. They launched six of their next-generation satellites on a Falcon 9 last year. They've got 11 on this Falcon 9 that would complete this next-generation system that they want to deploy. So obviously they're very anxious and very eager to get those satellites launched as soon as possible. But they also obviously want to make sure that that launch goes successfully. So if that means waiting an extra day or two to work out any last-minute kinks with the Falcon 9, they'll do so. But certainly, they're ready and waiting to go, and hopefully SpaceX will be ready to go in a few days.
David?
If the static test doesn't go off that well, what do you think happens? It's a delay on the Falcon 9 launch, and probably for how long?
Well, it would be difficult to speculate on that because it would depend on the nature of the issue, and there's very little information available at this time about that status. So it would not be appropriate to speculate on the length of any delay at this time until we have more information about the outcome of that static fire test.
Back to the Cygnus mission, if I may, Jeff, you report that Kirk Shireman, the ISS program manager at NASA, said a little while back, this is actually the beginning of an extremely busy time for the International Space Station. What's going up there and what's creating all the traffic?
Well, basically, they've got a lot of spacecraft coming and going. Besides the Cygnus, they had a Soyuz spacecraft leave the space station late last week, returned three crew members to Earth. Then early yesterday morning, another Soyuz launched. It docked with the space station about 6.5 hours later, brought three new crew members to the station, so they're back up to six people on board. They're going to have another Russian cargo spacecraft launch early next week. So they've got a lot of things coming and going at this point, just sort of a holiday traffic schedule, if you will.
The International Space Station is where the action is. Dr. Jeff Faust of thespacereview.com and Space News, Dr. Space of The Space Show, Dr. David Livingston, Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm Francis Rose. You're listening to The John Batchelor Show.